The referee is reaching into their pocket.
What's it gonna be, John? Oh, it's a red card! That can mean only one thing. It's time for the Get Off My Pitch podcast, the cold weather edition. I'm your host, Eric Paisley, and with me tonight is...
John Brennick, as usual.
John and I are gonna... I don't like the cold weather, but I did come back from camping, and it seems like it was a chilly road game for the boys in gold. The boys back in gold. They took on the New England Revolution with former NFC defenseman Dave Romney on the back line there. We're going to break it down for you, tell you who the hardest working and the most valuable player was. Of course, we're going to have an uncomfortable question coming up. John's going to share some stats. And of course, we will tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch. So, John, how are you doing, my friend? We're both back from the road.
Yeah, it's nice to be home. I was disappointed because it was beautiful looking weather the past 2 days. It was stupid cold.
Yeah, it was
cold. It was like 36 today, and it looked like it was like 50, nice spring weather. And I go outside, mm-hmm. and I was like, yeah, no, I'm going to go right back inside.
Yeah, I was camping with my buddy up in Land Between the Lakes in Kentucky, and Saturday was gorgeous. It was a beautiful day. And we were camped out right on the lake with no leaves, so we could see the entire lake. It was really nice, but it was stupid cold. And which was manageable with fire. You know, we had a campfire and everything. But the tough part was when the wind picked up. That's when things got bitter cold. So this morning was pretty rough. So much so that the dish towels that I had laid out to dry had frozen solid. So they were like plates.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk some soccer. The boys in gold headed up to New England. We took a 1-0 loss. So, John, gut reaction to the match?
It looked like this is the first good team we played. Mm. And I don't mean that as a slight to everyone else that we've played, but like New York, since the first game, they've added two key players to their lineup. They've changed. You know what I mean? Like stuff has happened. So my thing is, it feels like this is the first quality team we played, and it looked like it. They had possession, which we saw last week. We ceded a bunch of possession to Montreal, and we sat back and absorbed pressure. But it was very not fruitful. They actually went forward, and they had some good-looking chances, and I think that's what we saw. And then it kind of – I almost feel like, and I'll get into this later, kind of came down to a little bit of luck that we ended up, you know, with that losing scoreline. But it looked like we finally played a good team that had – purposeful possession, and we did okay.
Yeah, my gut react. It's strange. I actually had a very positive reaction to the match. We looked very bright for 40-50 minutes. I don't know if the stats play out. I didn't look at the stat lines this afternoon, but I mean, watching the attack for the first half and for the first part of the second half, it looked very good. A little more of that magic was going on. There was a little more of that creativity. Dan Lovitz was more involved on that left side. So I got to be honest, I kind of like what I saw. Mm-hmm. And I like that you brought up, it seemed like a little bit of poor luck went our way this time. I definitely got that. I was about to say, I got the gut reaction. Mm-hmm. It seemed like we got a little bit... It wasn't we weren't hard done by the refs this time. It just seemed like we just kind of couldn't catch a break on this one.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at Bo's shot, it was a banger, and it barely squeaked in there. You give that shot to a lot of other players, and it doesn't go in.
Yeah, that was a beautiful shot.
That's only part of what I'm talking about with luck. But yeah, if you look at it, I feel like it was a close game, and the luck just kind of fell against us, but that's going to happen from time to time. You know what I mean? They talk about winning championships is partly about luck.
Yeah, I know. I don't like to put the luck marker or tag on games, but this definitely seemed one that I would like to. What about the hardest working player for you? Who stood out work-wise?
I'm actually going to give it to, of all people, Shaq Moore. I heard his name called out a couple times, and I watched him do some really good defending. So not only was he working, but he had some work cut out for him back on the breaks. So I saw a couple cases where I was looking, and I was like, man, Shaq's in the right place at the right time. Also noticed on a couple plays when when we were doing the set pieces, you know, he and Jack mm-hmm. are usually the guys that kind of go back first. And so he was back, he was chasing, make sure those counterattacks happen. So I just appreciate a lot of his effort put back there. He also had a couple drives forward and a couple crosses near the end of the game. So I feel like he was kind of all over, and I want to recognize his effort in playing both ends of the field, being there for the offense, being there for the defense stuff. But I felt like he had kind of a good game and put in a yeoman's work, even though his name might not have been recognized as much. So.
Do you think Shaq is gelling more in the back line now that they're going three in the back?
Mm. Yeah, I think possibly. I think he's finally comfortable. I think we've talked about even the first game we had Leal, but he was in, you know, Hani's spot as trying to be the creative 10. I think now that he's had Fafa, and I mean it was Mwile in this game, but you know, had those guys in front of him trying to play a true winger role, I feel like he's felt a little more at home. It's what he's used to. That in addition to the play with the back line. Yeah, I think they've kind of come together, and he seems to be in his happy place for that. You know what I mean? Where he belongs.
I remember some of his first matches and sitting on that side of the field at a home match. There was some choppiness between him and the midfield. They were not on the same page when we were playing four in the back. I agree. I think that now this solid configuration, which is now seems consistent, is much more in his favor. I'm going to give it to Alex Mwile. I thought that from the highlights, again, he didn't have like a stellar game, but he really, really made his presence known on possession and in dispossession. I think for me, that's starting to become a theme in my hardest working player is a player that I guess in hockey terms, a two-way player, right? Someone who is both on the ball, you know, in the attacking half and on the ball in the defensive half as well. And that's what I saw from Alex, which is, I think, his role now. And I think just running his cleats off is just his sort of jump. Do you think Alex gets in the starting rotation more, or do you think this is just a stopgap for him until Leal is... Is it just a stopgap until Leal gets back?
Well, that was kind of a question I was thinking of asking you is, what did you think of him starting over Fafa? Because Fafa's been in that position, you know, a couple weeks now on the right side. So I'm not going to knock Alex. I agree he did a good job. I feel like I like Fafa's presence because to me it signals a more offensive-oriented approach, even though we've seen him dispossess and play well in the mid. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a little... you know, just seems to be a little more optimistic of a lineup. But I don't know. I feel like he is going to be key on both sides because he can do it in the midfield. I feel like Alex is going to show up in a lot of games this year in a lot of different places because I think we've seen that he's got the ability to be in those. And so I think he's kind of going to be our key fill-in of this guy's injured, this guy's out, we need to give him a break, let's rotate. And anywhere in the midfield, you know what I mean? Alex is probably going to be that guy that pops up.
Yeah. Do I think, was I surprised? Yes, I actually was surprised that he started over Fafa. I checked because when I was rewatching, thanks to Apple TV, when I was rewatching, I thought maybe Fafa was hurt, but then I looked at the sheets and he wasn't. So I was surprised. The only thing came down to me is maybe Fafa just needed some rest. And they just wanted to, you know, bring him on a little bit later. You know, who knows? Only Gary knows what equation that decision is made, how that equation is, you know, summed up. I don't know. I don't know why, but I was musing as I was watching Alice. Where does he fit now? Where does he now fit into the lineup? And I just don't know. There's a question mark there for me.
Yeah.
All right, MVP. Who is your MVP for the match?
Well, there was a lot of, well, unfortunately not a lot of offensive production to put it on, but look, the default is to go to Hani. I think he could get it for this match, but I'm going to give it to Dan Lovitz because I want to recognize a couple of the runs he put up, the defensive shift he put in. Look, I'm giving our wingbacks tokens here. And I think it was because when I look at this, Schaffelberg made some good runs, you know, so did Mwile, so did Fafa when he came in. We had some good offensive pushes, but I feel like our wingbacks looked great in this game. Dan Lovitz spent a lot of time down there. He also takes, you know, I don't know if you noticed, but he took some of the corner kicks. You know, he and Hani were kind of taking turns on different sides there. I want to say that I feel like it's a tiny bit of a stretch to say MVP because I don't think he was necessarily the most valuable, but I think he was one of the keys to some of those runs. And that, unfortunately, he missed that first wide open shot that I think he kind of miffed it into a cross a little bit. But I feel like he did a great job out there and was kind of an unsung hero in some of those things. So I think our wingbacks, that's kind of what I'm going here for is, or sorry, our backs, our left and right back that, you know, Shaq and Dan did a lot of good. And so I'm going to give it to Dan. A little bit unexpected on my part, but
on that wide shot, do you think he got caught in two minds of pass or like he kind of got in between?
I think so. I think he wanted to shoot it and he went with in his better mind to pass it and no one was there for that cross. You know what I mean?
But he was very creative in the chance that Schaffelberg had that Dave Romney shut down, unfortunately.
Yes.
He was very creative. He was very creative in that. I thought that was a very clever move to the inside.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could definitely see that. I'm going to give it to Walker Zimmerman just because I want to get that good karma out there. You know, his header off the post was a heartbreaker, but it shows that he's now back on the target sheet for corners. He's back on the target sheet for crosses. Mm-hmm. I want to see that. I want to see Walker Zimmerman back on the score sheet more often than he was last year. So my MVP award is really almost like putting a marker down to say, I want to see more of what I saw in the New England game.
Yeah. And I will say, I do find it funny because Dave Romney, of all people, should know who and what we're going to do on corners.
That's right.
And yet Walker still got away with that. I mean, he skied up for that header. It was a big boy play and it was close.
I think that shows, this is my opinion based on nothing. I think that shows more of Walker's exposure to the international game where he's a little more shifty. He's a little more physical in the corner, on set pieces. And you see that internationally, like they can be very physical and it can be a very much of a chess match to get in position for a header, you know, and the best players do overseas. And, you know, Walker has already expressed he wants to play out, you know, he wants to play in Europe eventually. I don't know. I want to see him do that. And I want to see him succeed. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to cover a couple of semi-uncomfortable soccer-related questions. John's going to scare us with some stats, and we will tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch, so stay with us. And we are back. All right, John, time for some... it's a lost show. That means uncomfortable question time. Mm-hmm. I'll begin today. This one's not a hard, uncomfortable question, but more of a... probably setting the stage for more uncomfortable questions later, which is, do NSC supporters overreact to losses?
All right. That is not where I expected to go. Yes. Yes. Very much. I think we are prone, like all fan bases, to overreact. It was all rainbows and sunshine for the first 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's doom and gloom now. You know what I mean?
Fire Gary, people out blah, there. Blah, blah. Yeah.
It's not Fire Gary. Are we screwed if Godoy and Leal come back? You know, why don't we have a number nine? Without a number nine, we're doomed. Which, I mean, yes, we know we need a striker.
I mean they're not wrong.
That, but the doomsaying levels about it are far beyond what is warranted. So, yeah, no, we're all prone to overreacting, which is, you know, I think it's what you and I try not to do in this format.
Ironically,
even though I'll say things to you personally, be like, well, that sucks. You know, we'll say it, but when you take a step back, when you look at it, it's the first loss. I'll talk about it. It was close. It was a close game. This could have gone either way. I mean, I think not to get too off topic, but the biggest thing to me was Gary said in the press conference, we're going to rue that 10-minute period where we let them have possession, they got the goal, that they got a good push on us. If not for that, it was a close game. In fact, we might have even looked like the better team if it wasn't for that small period of time. So it's not that we're a bad team. We finally played a good team. They forced it to it, and we didn't do it with our ideal starting lineup. So yes, we're overreacting. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, so my prediction was a 1-0 winner. And it you know, had luck played its role, that Walker Zimmerman goal would have gone, or Hani's long snapper shot would have gone in. You know, we could have gotten that 1-0 win. I think just a few things changed. Yeah, I just started thinking about this because I'm not on the socials anymore, but I could just feel it in the ether that like people overreact. I could just feel it. I could feel it out there that overreactions were. And I don't miss that part of the social experience of being a soccer fan. I don't miss that part of it. All right, what about you, John? What's your uncomfortable soccer related question for me?
Yes, soccer related, obviously. Who currently, looking at these last couple games, who is the biggest? Who are we suffering more without, Godoy or Leal? Because obviously they started the first game. We've been without him for this whole period of time, the same amount. Who are we missing more? Or the other way to word it is, who do we need to come back more?
Oh my gosh! I mean, both. I know this is out Godoy, because Godoy does so many. I hate to use this stupid term from American football, intangible things out there in the midfield. He's got a touch. He's got a leadership. He's got like a vision of the field that I got to admit, he's won me over with the way he plays that center mid and in possession with his back to the goal. And then he'll play the reverse Uno card and then all of a sudden run up the middle. And you don't expect it. I mean, he's got a canniness you need in a true holding mid. And I hate to say this, but Leal is somewhat replaceable in that equation.
Okay, quick tangent. There was a discussion by one of our friends, the Allman Brothers, in the Discord about how replaceable or not replaceable Leal is. So there are thoughts about that out there in the NSC fanverse.
Yeah, the Allman Brothers and I are good friends of mine, your original OG roadies. They do have a sense. They have a keen soccer sense. I feel like they also overreact sometimes. Speaking of overreaction,
I mean, we all do. But
the older of the Allman Brothers, he and I have this sort of same philosophy of I want a stronger midfield, and we still have not seen that in Gary's system, because Gary loves that wingback system, which is fine. It's just not the system I like, though.
Yeah. I am kind of curious to see what Gregus can do now that he's here, because he's, yes, 32, but slightly younger. I'm curious to see how that new signing goes in. He seemed serviceable in the 15 minutes he got in this game, but we'll see where that goes. But I tend to agree with you. I think Godoy is a little more key than Leal at this point, but I just wanted to hear what you thought.
Yeah, I'm not impressed. Not impressed. All right, John, any key stats we need to know for this last match?
So, to me, we expected goals is a great number, and I know I've mentioned it a couple times, so I'll try not to beat this drum forever. But I think the key thing is, two takeaways. One, this is the first time a team has had more than half 0.5 expected goals against us. In other words, this was the first team that actually really threatened to score.
Okay.
Their XG was just over one, and they got a goal. So in theory, the math says they should have. So this is the first team where they've really got possession. Like we talked about, we had 30% against Montreal and like 30-some percent against NYCFC, but it was all of their possession was non-threatening. Nothing was coming from it. This is the first team that combined that of possession with actual chances, and so that's what we see. On the other side of it, our XG was 1.1. It was higher. So this is the first time where we've kind of fallen short of that. So that's where my luck thing from earlier comes in of the XG says this is a 1-to-1 game. They got lucky on a shot that was very difficult and went in. We got unlucky on a header and a few other things. So this is one of those where, again, you change some things slightly and this could have been a 1-0 win. It could have been a 1-1 tie, or, I mean, heck, if everyone missed, it could have been a 0-0 tie. So, this is one of those where it's not as much doom and gloom, because when you look at it, we played well. The thing I was most surprised about is, did you see how hard we actually chased the game after we went down? Like, this was a Nashville away game. Tell me, like, what did you think of that? I was blown away.
Yeah, that was one of my, in an alternate universe, that would have been my alternate universe question. Is this the new Nashville, right? Mm-hmm. Is, we go down and now we attack on the road, right? That would have been that would have been the storyline had this been a 1-0 win, right? Mm-hmm, that would have been the new narrative, right? I don't know. I think that Gary and the leadership, they want to set a precedent on the road with that type of reaction to going down a goal. I would like to see what happens when we go down two goals. So, yeah, we go down a goal. Sure. I see that. What happens when we go down two goals? Do we pack it up like we've done before? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Uncomfortable. That's slightly uncomfortable territory, but yeah. So XG, I'm not surprised that bad, because if you think about it, Honey's shot and Walker's shot both could have gone in if the goalie, you know, the goalie. I think also hats off to New England's defense and hats off to their goaltender. Did a really good job there. I like what you said. This was a much better team. We played a better team than we have played so far.
Yeah.
All right. Time for our favorite segment, which is Get Off My Pitch. So John, you tell me who or what needs to get off our pitch.
So I don't know if you've watched the rest of MLS, but there are other teams scoring many goals and there are some players playing really well, you know, in various quarters. I think that I have seen a lot of people praising a lot of these things and saying this is so everyone who is making big sweeping statements off a 4-game sample size, high Club and Country USA sample size. Hey, yeah. Shout out to them. Shout out to Tim and Wes.
Tim Sullivan, the adult in the room half the time. Yes.
Yes. Sample size. Everyone who's predicting Almeida's MVP or Boanga's MVP for LAFC, St. Louis is, you know, they've broken the, you know, expansion team curse. They're undefeated. Get off my pitch with your small sample size prediction, guys. It's 4 games. Chill. This is not the time to anoint anyone anything or make stuff up.
No.
You can say all this stuff. Yeah, St. Louis is undefeated. Do you know who Vegas still has the best odds of winning? LAFC, because, again, the team, the history.
That's because they look like a juggernaut at this point. They destroyed CONCACAF.
They haven't won every game, and St. Louis has. Guys, chill. You can't build everything off 4-game sample size. So all these people making predictions and all the high horses and stuff, just chill. It's match day 4. There are a lot more of these. Let's talk about it we're in March. Let's talk about it near the end of April and maybe we can start prognosticating. However, don't declare the MLS MVP like you did with Carlos Hill 2 years ago and robbed Hani of it. Let's not proclaim everything halfway through the season.
That's funny. I forgot about that.
Still bitter about that. All of them can get off my pitch from 2 years ago for that too. Sorry, we're doubling down on this.
That's a rant. That's an OG rant. I like that. Oh, wow. I forgot about that crap. That was so stupid.
Okay. I feel better now, Eric.
Yeah, you do. Good. This is partly therapy for us, folks.
Yes, it is.
So speaking of, I've got a convoluted get off my pitch. So stay with me. Go with me on this journey, John.
All right.
So
are we going back to Culver's like that one time?
No. Yeah, it's very similar. This is a similar Culver's-esque story. So we are in the process of picking. So I only have one child, and this child is trying to pick a stupid college to go to. So we have been on the road, especially during spring break and any time off, going to college visits. This is very common. So we scheduled one at the Miami University of Ohio, which is in Oxford, Ohio, which is near the border of Indiana and Ohio. It is a bit of a drive, 5 hours, but if you have the family I do, it takes about 7. And I was less than enthused about this university. However, I would like to say to the fine folks of Miami, Ohio, I was very impressed when I got there. It's a very fine college. They have a very good, there's a lot of energy there on the campus. The campus is beautiful. And it snowed the whole time we were there. I was texting John, who was also in Ohio at the time. And I was texting John about the snow, and it looked very nice, but it was bitter cold. And even that, it could not dampen my spirits, my impression of the university, until something happened. And that's when we were sitting in a seminar in the business school. And in the business school, they have a top entrepreneur program led by the Altman family of Ohio. So if you know CentOS, the cleaning company, that's the family that sponsors they sponsor the entrepreneur program at the university. In fact, they do so in a couple of, obviously with their philanthropy, but also this is interesting. They also sponsor interns to go to freshman interns to go into consulting jobs for companies that come to the university. So as a freshman in the Entrepreneur Center or the business school, you can be on a consulting job where a company comes in with a problem and you get to solve it. It is a one-of-a-kind program. No other university does this.
Sounds cool.
And you get paid for it. You actually get money for it. So I was enraptured by this program until I found out last year's business that came in to get help with their problem. And that would, yeah, John, that would be MLS's own Cincinnati FC.
So no.
I would like to say, and I'm going to say this right to the camera, Miami University of Ohio, you can get off my pitch with your consulting for Cincinnati FC. Was the problem that their attendance was too high? Was it their problem that their chili sucks? So I don't know what consulting problem you were solving, but you can get off my pitch. Here's your red card. No.
Ooh. I was good on the lead up. I was like, wow, this all sounds interesting. And then you hit it and I was like, oh no, I see where this is going. It's going to places.
And it was, I had the same reaction. I was sitting in that room and yeah. The guy was like, he was like, and last year our freshman got to work with none other than MLS's own Cincinnati FC. I'm like, oh.
Did you get up at that point?
My daughter turns to me and just looks. And she has her NSC pin on her hat. She just looks. She's like,
she just she knows this. She's like, so I'm not going here.
She did this.
Well, it's good to know you eliminated a college from the list then.
Okay. Well, wow. Let's take a break after that bombshell because we're going to be talking about Cincinnati. So we'll take a break. And when we come back, we will talk about our next match. So stay with us. And we are back. Let me fix my mic after my rant. All right, John, who are we playing next and when are we playing?
Funny, you should ask. We are going to be hosting, which means it's a home game, and I believe both of us will be there. We're going to be hosting FC Cincinnati at Geodis Park next Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Central? Or is it 7:30 Eastern? I don't know. Time zones are crazy. Whatever. Next, it's I think it's 7:30 our time. That's right. It's always 7:30 the local time, which is why the New England game started at 6:30 our time because it was 7:30 there. That's what they did. I knew that. Anyway, we will be there. And I think you're going to sit with the crazies in the supporter section for this one, are you not?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding me. I do have to get my supporter section ticket, so thank you for reminding me. Yes. Yeah, I got to say that John and I have made a small pact that – there are a couple games. This one and the Atlanta one, I think, are the two mm-hmm. matches where I will be in the supporter section, fully kitted up, in my kilt, ready to roll.
Because we got to be as loud as possible for this.
Yeah.
Got to bring the heat.
100%.
Or the noise.
Okay. Yeah. So, feelings coming into this match?
I don't know, man. I watched the last part of the Cincy-Chicago game where they came back from two goals down and tied Chicago. And I was like, wow, they're dangerous. But then I also remembered that they let Chicago score three goals, which is a really bad thing since, you know, they've scored four total this season. Mm. So I think it's going to, I mean, if our history is indicative, it's either going to be a really close eked out 1-0 win, or it's going to be a Sesa Trace again. Cause I mean, we've seen this, we get into affairs with them where they still seem to have the same problem of they can score goals, but they will also let you score goals. Mm. You know, not quite as bad as a few other teams. I mean, they did a good job down the stretch, but you remember last year there was a couple games where they got behind, score goals to cop back up, and ended up with ties that they could have had wins. So I think it is going to be a high-flying, fireworks-filled game, even if maybe those don't result in goals. I think it's going to be an entertaining back-and-forth affair. Because, I mean, I've never seen us play a boring game against them.
No, I've never seen one either. Do you have a score line in mind? Do you want to go first on the score line?
I'm just going to say I'm going to go with Sesa Trace. 6-3 win. Ooh. Because it
You're going full Stephen Robinson on me. I love it.
Yeah, I'm going crazy. No, for the history of everyone, it was the last game of, not last season, two seasons ago, 2021. We came back from behind. We were down 3-1, I believe, and won 6-3. And then this year they repeated that where we actually got up 3-0 in the preseason, but ended up winning 6-3 in a preseason game. So I don't know. I'm going to try to make Sace to Trace a thing. If we're up by any amount of goals, I'm going to see if we can start that chant because it's kind of fun. You know, it's our version of Dos a Cero.
Oh, know? Speaking of, this is random and totally off topic. I saw Angel when I was at the filling up for gas on my way on Friday. So the leader of Brigadoro. He's the capo there. Yeah, I saw him. I said hello. It was a really cool exchange. He owns his own company, and it was raining and everything. We just had a lot. It was a really, really fun exchange. It was like the most random thing in Belmead of all places. So, yeah, that's really cool. I think it's going to be I'm going to go counter. I think it's going to be a 2-0 defensive smothering session from Nashville. I think that we're going to come in. We know who they are. They are not going to surprise us with their attack and how poorly they defend. I think it's going to be almost like a 70-30 possession again. I think it's going to be the same sort of script as Montreal, obviously a much better team than Montreal, but I think it's going to be, we're going to be playing the counter, and I think it's going to be 2-0 Nashville. I think it's a Dos a Cero.
I will say this. I do hope Leal comes back for this game because there's one team he loves to score goals against, and it is FC Cincinnati.
Yeah, speaking of unreplaceable. Yeah, he's unreplaceable for a couple of matches a year for sure.
Yeah, as long as he can slot in for those two matches, we're good.
All right. Well, I got a good feeling about this. I'm looking forward to being in the supporter section again. And, I don't want to throw any cold water on it, but I feel like I think we do have a home advantage. Mm-hmm. I think the fans are going to be up for the game, and I think it's going to be I agree. I think it's going to be a bit of a one-sided affair.
When it comes down to it, this is not the Cincinnati of old. This is a Cincinnati team that is, currently they're ahead of us by 1 point for third, and we're in fourth. But, this is the team we saw made the playoffs last year. Like I said, our preseason prediction thing, this is the year this becomes the rivalry for us, because we've already got the hatred, the banter, the fun, the history. There's all this stuff. But they're actually a good team now, so these are going to be good, intriguing games. And I feel like it's going to be good to watch soccer because, again, they don't have the greatest defense. We have a not quite as good offense, but they've got a great offense. But we're pretty, So I feel like it's going to be entertaining.
Yeah, it could be a very, very entertaining match. All right, before we close out, what did we get wrong from last week?
Nothing, really. The only thing I noted is I was saying something about Walker and Jack being, defending well against Montreal, and I accidentally said Joe, which is not incorrect because Joe is also part of the back line, but I meant to say Jack. So I just said the wrong J name, but that's really about it. Otherwise, we were good. And obviously, we predicted the scoreline of this game wrong.
Well,
that's okay.
I'm going to VAR myself real quick because I did call them Cincinnati Soccer Club. It's Cincinnati FC Football Club.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
So you did a quick self-VAR on that. I just realized I was thinking back. Yeah. So, all right, John, I will see you on Saturday in the supporter section. Until then.
Sounds good. We'll see you then, and we'll talk after.